Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello one and all, and welcome to Behind the Glass. I'm your host, Sam, and joining me digitally, virtually, via telephone call in, it is Tony from Gravelwood Car Sales. Tony, are you there?
I'm there. Hello, everyone.
How you doing, mate?
Are you all right, mate?
No. I'm going to address this pretty early on because I feel like people are going to pick up on it and be like, Sam sounds like he's drunk. I'm not, but I'm not well. Don't worry. It's not the dreaded COVID-19 coronavirus. Whilst following government advice to stay healthy by staying home, I fell down the stairs. Tony, don't laugh. I know you're tempted.
This is actually not funny, guys.
Well, thank you.
I laugh, but it's not funny.
Because you usually really enjoy laughing at my what would you call it?
Bad mishaps. Fortune.
Mishaps, there we go. And this has definitely been one of the worst ones. So I was expecting a lot of laughter from you, but I appreciate the sympathy. But yes, over the weekend, embarrassingly, I fell down the stairs. Fell down the stairs so badly that I smashed my head on a sort of landing and nearly knocked myself out, but I'm now recovering from a pretty severe concussion. And I probably shouldn't be recording this podcast right now, if I'm honest, because I feel pretty gaga. That's an expression my dad used when he was talking about my granny back in the day. She's a bit gaga today. And that's really how I'm feeling, a bit gaga. But I'm determined to put out another episode because Tony and I have been excited about today's episode ever since we kind of came up with the idea and announced it last weekend. And Tony, what are we going to be doing?
We're going to be rating your car, reviewing your car.
Well, yeah, not mine. We're going to be reviewing the audience's cars. But you're right. Yeah, you got the hashtag right. So well done. I unfortunately am going to need a lot of Tony's support today to get us through the podcast, which is slightly concerning given his previous track record. And as excited as we are by this concept, I am also terrified Tony's going to get this podcast sued because he's going to be so rude about someone's pride and joy that no one will ever listen again. But anyway, we're going to give it a good old go. So yes, if you are listening to us, welcome. Thank you for tuning in. If that's via Apple Podcasts or Spotify or whatever podcast listener you are using, today's episode will be a little bit more visual than usual. So if you feel the need to check out pictures of the rides we're talking about, head over to the YouTube channel, which many of you will be watching right now. Howdy, you'll see a slightly pale and odd looking version of myself and Tony looking very relaxed at his home because yes, we are social distancing, self-isolating right now. But anyway, enough of the intro. Apologies for my slightly lethargic sounding voice. We will get through this together. We are going to dive deep and rate your rides. We were inundated with submissions. I think over 1,000 submissions within 4 hours. So I actually had to ask people to stop sending in photos of their rides via email and Instagram, things like that, because it was just too many. And I've now hand-selected about 60 that we're going to review in today's episode. And if this goes well, of course, we will try and do some more because we think this could be a bit of a laugh, don't we, Tony?
This could be a little bit of a regular thing. Yeah, like you said, if we don't get sued by anyone. Or
if you don't
get
sued.
Let's just hope we've not had too many American lawyers send their cars in because that's a lot. If I slate one of them off, we're in big trouble.
We're in big trouble. So yes, anyway, we're going to get cracking. Enough of the introduction. Let's do this. First car is sent in from Hector and boom, check out this stunning Lancia Delta. Now, I know you're not a big fan of the classics, Tony, but you have to admit, this is something awesome.
I love.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
I do. Mate, honestly, this and the Evo particularly, mate, back in the early 2000s, I nearly bought one of these cars.
No, like, you didn't.
That's how much.
Okay, yes, wait, but we all know your car history. So like at what time? This is pre-supercars and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. This is like late teens, 20. I'll tell you what I bought instead, because it was cheaper. I bought a Subaru Impreza Turbo instead of one of these. But I looked at one of these. I just can't remember whether it was this one or the Evo. But what I do remember is that it was around the 20, 25 grand mark. Now, they have appreciated incredibly since that time. And I can see why. I mean, we got to ask Hector whether it actually works. But I wouldn't care, mate. I mean, I would just love that car just to look at. I put it in my living room.
And what a nice spec with that like dark maroony red. It's becoming one of those iconic shaped cars. If you look back at like VW Beetle, Porsche 911, however you might think of it, I do think the Delta is doing well. And of course, yeah, you mentioned we had the Integrale Evo and Evo 2, I think. Well, there were two versions, right? I'm not being mad.
There were, yeah.
And of course, Automobili Amos down in Italy has been doing the sort of, well, Singer-esque reinventions of them, which looks mad. Did you ever see him on Grand Tour? Did you see that episode?
No, I didn't.
Okay, so he's doing like resto mods of the Delta, basically bringing it into sort of, you know, modern performance, modern components. And he's a mad character. I did film a video with him on my channel years ago during Vlogari, and he's just absolutely hilarious. And he had a really funny encounter with Jeremy Clarkson where he just talks through some of the parts on the car, and most of them are just there because he thought, why not? Like, there's like no reasoning behind why he's put some things on the car. But yeah, go and check that out if you haven't seen it. The Grand Tour and Automobili Amos is Lancia creation. But yes, this thing, I think we're going in strong from the start. Hector, what a legend. You have a beauty. Treat it well. If it works, bravo. If it doesn't, Tony said he'll have it in his living room. So you've got a backup option there. We're giving it a thumbs up, right,
Tony?
It's
a win-win.
It's a win-win.
Well,
okay.
Well done, Hector.
Well done, Hector. Right, moving on then. Next up, we have this. This has come through from Steph. It's an Alfa GTV 2004. And I've picked this because I actually think they're good-looking little cars, like from a quirky era of Alfa, I suppose. It's either going to be a bit of a lover or a hate. They did do a special version of this, I'm sure, like a Cup. Was it the GTV Cup, I think? Or maybe I'm thinking of a wrong model. But either way, I think a cool little car. I'm going to give it a thumbs up. I almost don't want to ask Tony what he thinks, but Tony, your thoughts on the GTV?
Well, Pininfarina designed it, right?
Is it Pininfarina car? Coming out of nowhere with the knowledge.
I believe it is. I think it is anyway. And it is fairly pretty.
But
it's not for me. Yeah. It's not for me. I mean,
you're starting off polite. I know.
No.
This isn't going to last that long. You wouldn't have that, would you?
This is absolutely no thank you. It looks like a wedge of cheese.
Which one did they do the Zagato actual wedge on? That was a completely different car, right? It wasn't based on the GTV.
No, I can't remember. I mean, didn't Fiat do exactly the same thing? They'd done a car that was exactly the same, the Fiat. Remember the Fiat Turbo?
No.
What was that? It was basically the same car.
Okay. You're clearly not a fan.
I mean, it's a no.
I mean, I think it's cool. I think it's different. I think it's a cheap entry into a cooler car. Like, sure, go on, Steph. Like, I'm not going to knock it. Right, moving on swiftly. Check this out. Why are you laughing?
Has Paul Wallace sent that in?
No! Mate, do you know what you're looking at?
Yeah. It's not. No. What is that?
It's a Diablo SV, which was an SVR. It's a bloody road legal SVR. So this is a hardcore variation of the Diablo. Like, this is absolutely.
I'm not interested.
What? Mate, come on. How can you knock this straight away? Surely when you were growing up, this was one of your poster cars.
No, it wasn't.
You never had a Lamborghini on your wall?
I don't think I did. I'm not really interested in big old Lamborghinis. I know I've got a couple of friends that have got them, actually. My friend of mine's got a white one. Not, he's, you know, it's a Diablo.
Yeah. I don't know. Whatever
it is. Yeah. It's not the SVR thing. It's the normal one.
Yeah. But this is beastly. This is proper, like, hairy chest kind of car. This is like, hold on and hope you make it to the shop.
Hold on, let me see if it starts and I'll get to the shop, you mean?
I think this is super cool. And it just looks so casual. He's parked obviously in his driveway or something like that. I'm a big fan of this. I think it's going to be big, shouty and mean. Apparently in the Diablo, you not only sit sort of so low and lying back, like almost in a Formula One car, but also at a complete diagonal angle. So I can't even begin to think what it must be like to sit in and drive. But as a thing to have on your driveway, unbelievable. And the fact that it was a racing variant that he's then road legalized, like, it's like an F1 GTR. Come on.
It's not for me.
What about the yellow? Do you like the yellow?
No. Do I like yellow cars? Well, I have to say I like yellow cars because I'm especially in bright yellow. So,
good point. There we go. We found one thing you like about it.
I guess I like the colour. Well,
I'm here. I'm the lawyer of behind the glass here, trying to find one positive that we can stick to. Moving on, and check it out from Chris. Now, of course, we know Tony is not the biggest fan of Astons, and here we have a V12 Vantage. But the reason I wanted to pull this out is because I think the photo is fantastic. Firstly, it's at Goodwood, it seems to be either sunrise or sunset, and the car is in an iconic Aston Racing green. I don't know the exact color code of that because I'm not enough of an Aston nerd. If this was a Ferrari, I'd be saying to you, oh, it's a giallo con da palla. But anyway, it's just a very nice green. It reminds me of the old DB3S greens and things like that, you know, classic racing heritage green. I love it. Let's move on.
No, wait. I'm not, now, you've stolen my thunder a little bit because this is an opportunity. You're not going to hear this very often, guys, that I'm actually not going to go in too hard on this car because if you're going to have an Aston, it's got to be that V12, and that would be a very iconic, considerable colour if you're going to have one. I wouldn't buy one, but I don't dislike it. They're always pretty, aren't they, Astons? I prefer the Goodwood sign behind, but I don't dislike it.
Have you been drinking?
No, mate, like, that's a cool car. Just because, you know, I wouldn't buy one and I won't like it, but it's a V12 Aston Martin, and they're always pretty, aren't they?
I mean, it's literally what I've been telling you for the last 3 years, but I'm glad to see, just because Chris has sent in his good-looking one, you finally come round.
That's a nice one.
Okay, so all the ones that I've driven or talked about or shown you just haven't been nice ones, have they?
No.
Stunning spec, Chris. I love it. I don't think it's an S, and I can't tell if it's manual or sport shift, but it looks like just a standard V12. You didn't let me know if it was an S or a manual or not, but who cares? Looks great. Perfect wheels. Also, let's just talk about this for 2 seconds. I'm such a fan of chrome or silver wheels. Like, I know there was the whole fad over black wheels. I would accept a graphite wheel, you know, like a grey wheel. But otherwise...
Well, they did do that for a while.
Yeah,
they did do that for a while.
Are you not sick of black wheels, Tony? Would you spec black wheels on a car? If you were going to spec a new RS6, would you spec black wheels?
No, I'd have the diamond cut ones. Yeah. Diamond turn ones, I would.
Make some pop.
Depends on the car, mate. It does depend on the car.
I'm just really off black wheels at the moment, and I feel like they need to come back, and that's why that car looks so good. Anyway, let's keep going because we've got a few to rattle through. Ho, ho, ho. Here we go. Nathan has sent in his Mark II Focus RS with the Mount Tune Tune. Is it the Mount Tune Tune? Is that what you call it? I think it's the Mount Tune 375. So a bit of a fruity version. But we've talked about this before on the podcast. I am such a fan of this shape Focus. I know that Clarkson called it like the Wayne Rooney edition, I think. It was always seen as a bit of a hooligan car. And I will, and Nathan, I apologize for this. You do tend to sometimes see them modified in quite bad taste going around Tesco's car parks into lampposts. But when there's a classy version, which is what I think yours is, Nathan, I'm a big fan. And I saw a dark blue one of these on the streets of London a month or so ago and thought it looked mega. Tony, your thoughts?
Not for me in white.
Okay.
The performance blue is the one that I'd have.
Oh, it's a bit it's a bit generic though, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
Could you get performance blue of this gen? Was that a thing back then? Yeah.
Yeah, well, it was the blue, wasn't it? I don't know if it was called performance blue, but it was the blue.
You saw a lot of orange and green ones, I remember.
Yeah, loads of green ones, yeah. I can't remember what they called that now. Green hell or something. I can't remember what they
did. You just make that green hell. I feel like you called it green hell. I can't believe that was the actual color code.
I made that up. they're very good to drive, these cars. They make a really good noise. They're really talky, but for me it's a bit of a chance car.
Okay, I'm kind of with you in the sense where when they get modified incorrectly, as in you do see some that just slam, like just loads of like anti-lag backfiring and like just not done well and just kind of abused, I think it tends to be that they are driven by people who are slightly more, I don't know.
What's the guy's name who owns this car?
Nathan.
Do you drive this car with a baseball cap? If you do, you're a chav. That's what happens.
Is chav still PC? I'm like feeling awkward and like tiptoeing around the world.
No, it's allowed.
It's allowed?
Okay. Yeah. I'm not being offensive. It's almost like a jewel in a crown, mate. It's like,
okay, sure.
People like being called chavs.
Oh, okay. It's something to celebrate. Anyway, Nathan, I'm a big fan of this. I'd actually love to have a go in one of these. And the other one that I'd love to have a go in, they did a special edition, like right just as the new RS got announced.
500.
The 500. There you go, Tony. And they're still worth big money, right?
Yeah, all in black. Matte black only.
All in black. And what did the 500 represent? Yep. It couldn't have been horsepower, so it must have been...
No. 500 cars.
Oh, 500 cars. Okay, nice. Yeah, I just think it looks super cool. I came across some Instagram feed the other day and I was like, I didn't even realize that car was made. So much was my lack of knowledge on Focuses.
I actually think they're a waste of money. I think you could just get just a nice one of these, mate. So, like I said, I think they're a good car. I don't think they're a bad car, but they've just got that little bit of a stigma attached to them as to who drives them.
And I think that stigma was shaken off with the newer Focus, right? That newer Focus RS absolutely suddenly went to like, oh, it's a real driver's car. Like, this is about drivers. Well, for some reason, the Mark II was more about Tesco's car parks, 1 a.m., loud music.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, Nathan, even if you do hang out in Tesco's, I'm a fan. Crack on. Next up, and I shouldn't have laughed. I just need to look at my screen. I don't have my contact lenses in, so I can't see the name. One second. James, you have taken a bold decision here by sending in your Pontiac Solstice. Now, this is a car in my mind that is very confused by its identity. Is it American? I think all Pontiacs should be big, heavy, bruising V8 muscle cars. This is clearly not that. I think it was a little 2 litre, or it was a very sort of eco-friendly engine. Is it a European sports car? It looks like it's trying to be that, but I don't think it was. I don't really know much else about it. Was it even offered for sale in Europe? I don't know. Tony, like, did you know about the Pontiac Solstice?
I have never seen anything so ugly in all my life. That looks like the Ugly Sisters 8C / with an MX-5.
So I was actually drinking there and I nearly choked on my drink.
It looks like an 8C and an MX-5 have made love, and that's what they produced.
The thing is, I don't think it's that ugly. I just am like, what is it? And maybe James, you've tried to do something a bit different. Maybe you are in America. Maybe you have American heritage or history. Like, and this is for you. This is your thing. But I'm just a bit like, no. Like, I just think no. Like, even if that, what's the price of it? If it competes against an MX-5, buy an MX-5. If it competes against an Alpha 8C, then you need to go home and shut the door and never ever leave again, because that looks like a, I'm not a fan. I'm sorry, James. That's just, I just think it's a bit silly.
But thank you for sending it in, James.
And as long as you enjoy it, and as long as you wear sun cream, because that is a convertible and it looks hot wherever you are. So yeah, as long as you get, as long as you have a happy time, who cares what we have to say? We have awful taste in cars.
Well, you do, yeah.
Harsh. Moving on. Now, this is sent in by Craig. Craig has submitted his 1991 Toyota MR2. And what I love is his submission photo is if it on track. He's a proper MR2 driver. And this one looks like it's almost been fettled to be track friendly. I don't know what modifications he might have done to it, but it feels like it's just, you know, perfect for those track days. And the reason that I included this out of all the thousands of submissions we got is I actually like this shape MR2. And I think the MR2 gets a bit of slack every now and again, mainly because people put cardboard Ferrari body kits on top of it and pretend like they're driving around in 360s. But one of these in black parks around the corner from me. And every time I come back from the shops, I go, oh, what's that? Oh, yeah, it's an MR2. Tony, what are your thoughts on this generation MR2?
That looks like that's been speeded up. In fact, that car is probably looks faster there standing still than what is actually going on the track, first of all. Secondly, I actually think they're quite cool. When I was growing up, a friend of mine had one, and it never broke. It didn't.
Keep going.
I think I blew about. It was absolutely bulletproof.
Japanese. That's the thing.
Yeah. And again, from my era, like late 90s, early 2000s, that sort of thing. So, yeah, like I said, my friend had one. And at the time, we thought we'd hit the jackpot driving around in one of them.
Well, so, that's the thing, is because it's almost like what the 4C is, in the sense that it gives you that feeling of being in a car that's more expensive than it is. Or like, you know, you get that sense of sports car for a quite affordable price.
Yeah. And as well, like back then, like I said, we thought we'd hit the jackpot because it looked a lot more expensive than what it actually was. And it didn't break. I mean, I haven't been in one for 20 years, I don't think. So, I mean, I don't know about now, but, you know, I've got fond memories about that car. So, yes, thumbs up from me, that one.
I think thumbs up. And I think, I say, the modifications, whatever have been done, I think look ace. It looks proper track worthy and speedy. So, wow, we're doing well here. I feel like we're being overtly positive. Apart from maybe the poor old Pontiac, people have got some good cars out there. And I quite like the variation so far. So I'm feeling positive about this as we move on to, here we go. We've got, oh, a weird name. Angry Palm Tree has sent in this Lotus Esprit Turbo. Now, I would imagine that car hasn't moved for about 10 years because let's face it, Lotus, not only do they stand for lots of trouble, usually serious, I think of the Esprit generation, I just don't think they ever turned on, did they? I remember when I went to see Magnus walk out in LA and he picked up an Esprit and he's like, I parked it here about 6 months ago and it hasn't moved that much. But oh my God, what an insanely good looking and cool car, especially in the black and gold livery. I actually preferred the later Esprits. Was it the V6 ones they did? The sort of the last smoother, less boxy shape. But yeah. Tony, is this a bit of you? I mean, I know the Lotus thing isn't a bit of you, but is this a bit iconic?
It's iconic. I could see why he's got angry in his name. He's probably had to push it about everywhere. but it's a cool looking car. Like you said, it hasn't moved for a while. If it has, it's not moved far, as in off his driveway.
But do you not think this is the kind of car, if your uncle or your godfather, you know, when you're growing up and you go around and you go, oh, we're going to Uncle Tony's house. And if you walked in as a kid and your uncle had this or your parents' mate had this, you'd be like, wow. Even today, I still think it looks super cool.
Yeah. So where I grew up, in the next road where I grew up, one of the neighbours had a Mark II one, and I would have been not a teenager, 12, 13, something like that, but just teenager. And I thought it was a full-on supercar, mate. I mean, yeah. I, you know, because that's what it looked like.
Exactly. It's got that stance. Still today, I think that, that styling has lived on. And those wheels on that car there look mega. I've never driven one, never even sat in one. Did you ever have a chance to have a go in one? Do you ever get them come through? Do you get Esprits and things like that come through the dealership?
No, not really. The odd,
a bit too specialist, odd, huh?
Yeah, really specialist. Yeah.
Anyway, well, yeah. I'm going to give it a thumbs up just for having the balls to live with it, angry palm tree man. I think it's impressive.
I'm going to give it a thumbs up just for sheer look.
Just to keep our audience on side.
Yeah. Just it's another car that we're not going to get sued for.
Okay, we're going to take a tiny break here just while I catch my breath and reset some things, and we'll be back with you very shortly to continue rating your rides.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
We're back, and we are continuing with this beautiful Series 3 Land Rover sent in by Paul. Now, I think you all know I'm a huge fan of Land Rovers in general, usually more so the Defender than the early Land Rovers, but there's something so simple about the submission from Paul. That's what I love. Firstly, it looks like he might live in South Africa, and if he doesn't, I want to know what part of the UK he's in, because like it just looked beautiful, and he also looks like he's about to go out on safari. But it's just, yeah, that kind of immaculately perfect spec. Old British green with a tan convertible roof opened up. Like, I just want to cruise around. I want to go to the pub in that. I want to go to, I mean, God, let's just hope when lockdown's over, we can still do things like this. But yeah, I absolutely adore this. Simplicity at its best. Tony, I've never talked to you about Land Rovers and Defenders and other things like that. Do you like them? Dare I ask?
I mean, they are so bad to drive, but that doesn't matter if you're getting a 1960s one or a, you know, a 2014 one. They are just awful to drive. However, I've got a bit of a soft spot for something like that.
You can't help but like something like that, right? It's just cool.
Absolutely.
I remember years ago, I was filming a TV show or like an online show for MSN, and we had to do something at the London Concours d'Elegance. And for one of the sections, I had to drive, I think it was like a restored Series 1 Land Rover, like up the driveway of Windsor Castle. And I got in here and they prepped it up with it. And I literally floored it because it wasn't working all that well. And I'm not joking, flat out, people were walking past me faster.
Yeah, I can imagine.
It was, yeah. I was like, this cannot be it. Like this, like, surely you, like something's broken. They're like, no, it's just, you know, you build up speed in these things. So I don't quite know how people use them on farms and stuff. But one of my favorite experiences last year actually was visiting a company down in Portugal called Cool and Vintage, who are doing the resto mod game on sort of, well, Series 3 and I guess further forward Land Rovers. And they've just done some amazing projects. The actual owner has like a I can't remember if it was a Series 3, basically an earlier one that looks like it's a barn find. So a body that's all rusty and destroyed, but actually mechanically is completely perfect. And he cruises around in it. Oh, it's so cool. They're doing amazing, amazing stuff. And that's a definitely dream one day purchase would be to have a cool and vintage Land Rover. But anyway, yes, big thumbs up. Go on, Paul. You've got a beauty there, mate.
What a thing, Paul. Well done.
Oh, continuing the sort of off-roading 4x4 thing, we now have a submission. Again, I'm going to have to zoom into the screen because my lenses aren't working. I don't even know how to pronounce this guy's name. Sujanthan, I'm going to go with. He's submitted an 80s Mercedes G-Wagon. I mean, back then it wasn't really so much the G-Wagon. I think it was the 300 GD, he's telling me. And this looks ready for adventure. Unfortunately, these days, you only really see G-Wagons adventuring around the King's Road and Sloane Street, slightly differently. But of course, back in the day, they were military vehicles as well and made for off-roading purposes. And this one in that blue looks amazing. And he just looks like he's going to go driving for thousands of miles. And I like anything which suggests adventure, I'm a fan of. However, I get the feeling, Tony, this isn't going to be up your street.
This is not for me, this car. I would have rather have had, I'd have a Defender.
Okay.
Over one of these. However, I do like the current G-Wagon. I don't like the...
Oh, you sell out.
Yeah, no, I do like that. I like...
You and every single person in the world.
Yeah, but mate, they are cool. Like, you know what I mean? If you've got a supercar and you want to tow something around, I mean, what a tow car.
But that's what I don't like is everyone's like raving about the new one because it's so much better than the last one. It's still not good. Like, it's still a box. It's just the last one was so bad that all they had to do is make this one turn on. And it was like, oh my God, it's so much better.
Yeah. But I just think they're cool. But at least they work now. I mean, actually, I think they're always quite reliable, weren't they?
Yeah, I think so. But just, you know, wouldn't go around corners and wouldn't stop and all of these different things.
For sure.
That's
not for me, that one.
We don't know how to pronounce your name, unfortunately, but cool car from my side. Aha! Now, this is a bit of you, Tony. This is a bit of you. We have a submission of a Ford Sierra RS Cosworth. This has been submitted by Ben. Yes, Ben. God, I need to move this laptop. I'm going to try and move this laptop a bit closer to me. My eyes just aren't working. Thanks, concussion. Now, this, I think, is a beaut. Firstly, I've noticed the wheels just look spot on. But after our kind of Escort versus Sierra debate a few weeks ago, Tony, I feel like maybe you should take over on this thing.
Yeah, this is a real icon car, this. So, again, in my era, 80s car. Again, one of my neighbours owned one, but he owned the RS 500, so the black one. So even rarer than the Cosworth. This doesn't look like an RS 500. I don't think it is because they're all black. So, this is just a Cosworth. Nevertheless, still cool. Just a proper... I mean, Ford RS cars, they're always iconic. Not so much now because there's too many of them, but this is a special car, mate, this car, you know what I mean? And a fortune now.
A fortune. And the thing is, so if you won the Euro Millions, would one of these make it into your collection?
No.
Oh.
but that doesn't mean I don't appreciate them. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
Like I said, you know, I had an Escort Cosworth for a long time. It was awful to drive. It was terrible. You'd get all the power like a diesel all at once and then no power at all. Loads of lag. This car will be exactly the same. But there is just something cool about it. I appreciate them.
Okay, good man. Yeah, no, I appreciate them too. Never had a go in one, never really experienced one. My real knowledge or awareness of them came about from old Lenny the Geezer, who has rebranded himself as Lenny.Urban. But yeah, I need to research them a bit more, have a go in one, see what they're all about, because I know it's a big scene. And yeah, they look amazing. What, did you ever have one of these in the back of your dealership?
No, it was just the Escort.
Okay, I'm still confused about that. Anyway, moving on. Boom. Now, I had to include this. Now, this was submitted by a guy called Richard. Richard, I don't know if this is your actual car or if you've submitted this on behalf of someone else or whatever. It's a very dangerous move. Like, I'm very impressed that, firstly, you own this car, but secondly, that you are submitting it to Tony and I, who I think between us both have probably talked about our dislike slash hate for the McLaren Senna in about 8 hours worth of audio content. So, bravo for submitting it. I'm going to come out and say it. Unfortunately, Richard, as impressive as the car is, and as I say, congratulations for owning it, I still think it's hideous, and I think your spec isn't helping. I know a big thing with the Senna was like MSO, every single car should be unique and different, and they really wanted to push people to do their own thing, which again I applaud, but this is not working for me, I'm afraid. I think it's drawing a lot of attention to that car just infuriates me so much. But you theoretically own one and I do not, so I don't really have a leg to stand on right now. It's a very expensive car that will do lap times and trip times much quicker than any car that I own. Tony, dare I ask you on the thoughts on this particular Senna?
I actually think, mate, we're gonna disagree. I actually think that's one of the nicest ones I've ever seen.
No, you don't.
That is, honestly, I think that looks really good. However, it is hideous, but they are hideous anyway. Look at the state of it, regardless of how it's specced. But I think that is quite nice, although it's hideous, if you know what I mean. The thing is with the Senna, I just don't get it. I don't get the car. I understand it's the fastest road car to go anywhere, but it's so expensive that you can still have a race car that would be cheaper.
This is exactly it. Because yeah. I think it's not a road car. From everyone that I've spoken to, even Shmi, and he might be cross that I'm saying this, would agree it's not a great road car. It's pretty uncomfortable. It's loud. It's noisy. It's hardcore, et cetera, et cetera. It's built for the track. It's built for going very quickly around track. However, it's so quick around track that you approach, you know, race car lap times, but at which point a race car is going to go quicker for less and better because slick tires, proper aero, proper performance. Like, it's always going to be held back by the fact it has to still be a road car. And I know another owner of the Senna who says the same things. It's like, it's really cool, it's great, but I know I could go faster in a race car for a lot less.
Absolutely. So if you say went round flat out round Silverstone in one of these, if you was a racing driver, you would get anything between 205 and 208, roughly, round full track Silverstone. If you're a racing driver in a cup car, which is a quarter of the money, all right, granted, you've got to pay to run it, but you'd go round in 2 minutes, 2 seconds. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's slower than a race car and four times as much. I just honestly, mate, I just don't get it.
Yeah.
Just the fact that you can drive it home. Like, who cares?
What I would love to see experience is a McLaren Senna and a 720S or whatever they call that new one, 765LT, whatever, on a Route La Turbie or like a mountain road, like a, you know, French twisty road. Can the Senna get away? Like, is there the road performance? Can you exploit it on the road? Because from everything I've heard of is you can't get close to the Senna's performance on the actual road, at which point you're better off in a quick supercar. And then on track, as we've just discussed, actually, when you're starting to do those kind of speeds, what you actually want is a race car because it's more purposeful, it's more set up to do those kind of
things.
But, you know, this is a big, expensive, big boy car. And the fact that the owners were encouraged to put their own spin on it. And I'm a big fan of car personalization. We've talked about this a lot before. I think even if it's in bad taste, even if it's not in my taste, personalizing your car, I think it's ace. I think it's cool. You're putting your mark on it. It's great. So from that point of view, bravo, Richard, you're a hero. But I would rather stab my left eye than unfortunately own that thing. So we'll move on before I get myself into any more trouble with this submitted by Josh. It is a VW Trekker, or American viewers may know it as The Thing, obviously modified slightly. And I know Tony is going to be, well, I'll come to Tony in a second. The reason that I like this thing out in Bali in Indonesia, where lots of you will know I spend a lot of time, they have these as kind of like tourist cars. You see them driving around all the time. And like, I didn't really know that they were like a thing, lol, pun intended. But there's a sort of big cult obsession with these cars and an ideology around them. And especially in America, they're really sort of sought after. And I always just thought of them as these like funny little cars you see in Indonesia. Anyway, apparently this car's in the UK. And as you can see, it's kind of been like almost like militarized, not militarized, but anyway, it just looks jokes. And it's got a little orange flashing light on it. And it's riding about 2 millimeters off the ground. I think it's hilarious. What a thing. Tony, be nice.
It is hideous. However, if you're not too far from my dealership, I would love to see it.
Really?
Because I've never seen anything so funny in all my life.
So when you text me and said, "Is that a skip?" when I showed you this car, you were taking that back now?
No, I'm not taking it back. I'm saying that. It's a funny skip. I would like to see. I mean, it's got a light on top. I mean,
it looks hilarious, right?
I'd love to see it in person.
And my thoughts are that that's not running any kind of stock mechanicals. So, like, I imagine it probably sounds quite good and maybe goes a little bit faster than we're expecting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's iconic. I think it's super cool. VW thing or Trekker. Well done, Josh. I mean, it looks like you put some work into that thing. So there you go. You've got an invitation from Tony. And if you're heading down there, drop me a DM. I'll come by as well and check that thing out. So moving on. Now, this car, I have a little bit of a relationship with, or at least the owner. That sounds a bit inappropriate, but I'll explain it in a second. So Tony, before I get carried away, what are your thoughts on the 355, but the GTS variant, and then this car in particular?
Okay, so... it's one of the best sounding Ferraris ever, in my opinion. They sound amazing, 355. It's not very fast. In fact, it's really slow, but it would be compared to today's cars. I don't think it looks particularly pretty. I think it's a bit square, boxy, but it has got that iconic look about it where everyone knows what it is. You know it's a 355. I think they're cool.
It's not my generation of Ferrari. Like, I think a lot of people maybe 5 or 10 years older than me often go for 355 instead of 360. And it's kind of seen as almost a bit of a collector's car at the moment, I think, especially the manual variants.
It's my generation, that car.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's your generation. By the way, Tony, just to remind you, I am filming you. So when you pick your nose, a lot of people will see that. But anyway.
I'm not picking my nose. I'm just adjusting it.
Sorry. But anyway, this particular car, I think is ace because it's the GTS. And that, for me, if of all the 355s that I would own, it would be the GTS because we just don't see GTSs really anymore very often within the kind of Ferrari lineup. And we've talked in great length on our Ferrari special about the muddle that is the Ferrari lineup currently. But yeah, GTS, just it's kind of cool that you can just pop off that sort of little roof section and you kind of left with this Targa feel. And in yellow. Now, this car, owned by the amazing gentleman who lent me his 488 Pista and 458 Speciale in Dubai at the end of Drive the World. So he's an absolute hero. And he did actually say, "Do you want to take the 355 out one day as well?" And I'm kind of regretting the fact I said no.
You should have.
I should have. I mean, what an idiot. But I just had enough going on that week. And I kind of thought...
Is it a manual?
I don't know. Knowing him, I would say yes. But then also... Actually, maybe not. I don't know. We'll find out. Clint, let me know. Is it a manual? If it's a manual, I really should kick myself.
You should have.
I really should have. But I assumed I was going to be back in Dubai by this point. That was always my plan, was to return to Dubai at kind of March time. And I thought I could have a go then, cheekily enough. But anyway, it looks beautiful out there in the Middle East sun. And as I say, yeah, I'm a big fan of all the 355s. The GTS is the only one that I'd consider personally. The only one, not even the coupe or the spider. Moving on. Oh, now talking about beautiful Italian Targa-topped spiders, we've got potentially one of the greatest of them all. Because right here, Anthony has submitted his 4C Spider in a near-on perfect spec with a kind of heritage livery, photographed beautifully in what I can only assume are Italian fields, but could also be somewhere near Southampton. But yeah, this car looks absolutely stunning. It's got some of the nice elements that they applied to the Spider, which weren't really available on the coupe at the time. So you've got the carbon fiber, kind of like what I call grab handles on the front bumper. Again, carbon fiber mirrors, elements that we only saw on the launch edition. Inside, I can't see if it's a black or red interior. It looks maybe black. But then this heritage livery really reminded me of old, like, I don't know what, 60s Alphas. The big number 11 on the front. Don't know, Anthony, if that's any significant relevance to you or to Alpha, but I think this thing looks absolutely ace. Big fan, still beautiful, but I would have the Spider headlights. These are the glass headlights. Tony, come on, that is a, in that picture right there, that is a good looking car.
Yeah, I never said they weren't good looking. An 11 amounts to probably the amount of quid it costs.
I thought you were going to say horsepower it has.
Yeah, horsepower is one of the two.
Oh, I hate you so much.
But yeah. I mean, it does look pretty there, sitting there. It's a lovely backdrop, beautiful sun. It's probably waiting for a tow truck, but yeah, or Anthony's in the field because it's pulled him to the left and thrown him in the field because that's what they do.
Right, we're moving on. Anthony, I'm giving it a big thumbs up. It looks great. Crack on, mate. Have a good time. Your car's better looking than most of Tony's. Anyway, so now this is a special one just for you, Tony. I was asked to include it. Our good old friend, Jonty from Supercar Driver. Now, just to really rub it into him, I don't even know what Lotus this is. Apparently, Jonty seems to think it's the best Lotus in the world and the fastest car on any Supercar Driver road trip, which I'm now going to turn to Tony and ask whether that might be true, because I get the feeling that maybe you were following Jonty when this photo was taken.
No, I wasn't actually following at this particular time, but I've pushed that car down the road more times than I've pushed any other car down the road, quite literally. There's a couple of funny stories that involved that car. I nearly had a big accident following that car once in I think we was in Wales, and we was going through some tight roads, country roads, as in, you know, within the speed limit. And there was a big dustbin lorry come round a blind corner, and Jonty just got through. And I was in a 488 Spider, and I didn't fit. And how I never hit this lorry or the wall, I'll never know.
Whoa.
I do not know. Honestly, mate, it was one of the scariest things that I've ever experienced. I had nowhere to go. I just managed to stop because it's tiny, that car. It just went straight through the gap. But I couldn't go through the gap. And then obviously there was that time where we stole it in Scotland, which was the funniest thing.
So just to paint a bit of a picture for those that don't know, because we're going slightly towards the in-joke kind of territory of our stories, but Supercar Driver, an amazing club, membership club here in the UK, which I've been a member of for about 4 or 5 years, Tony, I think for 2 or 3 years now, but we've both done a ton of events with them. They put on everything from cars and coffee style sort of meetups at weekends to big, you know, European 5, 6, 7 day five-star road trips. Jonty, I don't know what his official title's supposed to be or what he claims it is, but let's, I think, assume he kind of handles most of the events, right? Most of the bigger road trips and event logistics. I might have given him
an events manager.
Yeah, I might have given him a bit too much of an ego boost there. But anyway, he's a hilarious character. Slightly competitive when it comes to driving, in the sense that I think he thinks he's Lewis Hamilton.
He can't drive.
And then Tony likes to remind him that he's not. And too many hilarious stories with him and the whole Supercar Driver gang. If you're in the UK and you've got a nice car and you're thinking, oh, I'd love some people to go and drive with, go and check them out, sign up. It's well worth it.
For sure.
We did a tour of Scotland when we both had our McLarens, Tony in a 570S, me in a 540C. Jonty was there in this Lotus, which, let's just be real for a second, I think it's an Elise something cup, right? Like a 3-something cup, 380 cup.
No, it's an Exige.
Sorry, an Exige. Thank you. Sorry, it's an Exige. Is it an Exige?
Oh, I think it is, mate. I don't think it's an Elise. Is it an Elise or an Exige?
I think. Oh, he's going to kill us, isn't he, for not knowing. I feel bad looking at the picture and not knowing, but I get lost with all the Lotuses. It is a cool little car, but it's just because of who he is and the way he drives it that we like to mob him up. And yes, whilst in Scotland, we actually stole it one night as a prank, filmed it all, put it on the channel. He genuinely freaked out. This is his pride and joy, this thing. And the fact that we don't really know what it is will only mob him up even more.
I mean, so, I've honestly got shoes that are worth more than that car, honestly. And they're bigger than that car as well.
Oh my God. But he will tell you that you will not be able to keep up with him on an English B road. That is his claim to fame. So Jonty, thank you for submitting it. You were a brave man. We both still think it's an absolute piece of crap, but we're glad you enjoyed it. Now, moving on. We've got a beautiful submission here from Irving, an original Fiat 500. Now, I've been really keen on these recently because I think, or maybe I'm giving away a great business idea. I'm going to hold that tight. I just think this is a great car. Tony, what do you think?
I agree, mate. I think they're a cracking little car.
For a city car. What a brilliant little thing just to buzz around in. Class, elegance.
Simple.
Don't want to take it on the motorway, but...
No. Literally wouldn't want to take it anywhere apart from some shops.
And you can fit way more people in it than you would realise.
What are you saying? What, it could be used as a bus or...
No. As I said, I don't want to give away my business plan. but they're bigger than one would think. You look at it and it is tiny. And don't get me wrong, when I went in it, I had to have the roof open so that I could actually fit. But... I just think they're great. I think they're absolutely awesome little cars. I would love to own one. I'd love to experience having one to potter around London in. I think it'd be ace.
I agree. I think they're cool.
Irving, you're getting a big thumbs up from both of us. Well done, mate. That's the first double thumbs up we've done for a while. This is a special one just for you, Tony. Now, I really like this, submitted by David. Of course, it's a VW Caddy van, but it's been modified, and I think in such a cool way, because he's put things like GTI wheels on and the Golf R seats are inside and just little things that's basically made it look like a VW Caddy R or GTI. I think it just looks like a proper performance van, which I have to say I'm such a fan of. I think that's a really good looking van. I'm quite glad that Lenny doesn't watch these podcasts because he'd be shouting, it's not a transit! But I don't care. I'm a fan of that thing. And I kind of think, you know, as a car to get around in, that would be better than your old pickup trucks, Tony.
I think he's murdered that. I think work a bit harder in your van and buy a Golf R and the van.
Okay, I don't think everyone's life quite works like that, but I guess I appreciate the motivational pep talk.
Yeah, it's motivational. Like,
sure.
I mean, maybe I should have been a bit harsh there because probably. Maybe that's what he likes. Maybe he doesn't like a Golf R. Maybe he likes a diesel van to look like a Golf R and he wouldn't even consider a Golf R.
Hey, back in the day, I used to do this all the time. I had a Mark IV Golf that I blinged up, tried to make it look like a GTI. I had an Audi A6 that I tried to make look like an RS6. That was an ill-fated high expenditure project. You know, I'm not afraid of doing a little bit of tweaking and fancying. My 540C, I try to make that look like a 570S. So, you know, this is my thing. I'm a fan of this Caddy. I think, David, you've done a very cool job. We'll leave it before you get depressed about Tony's advice. Now, this here is one of my favorite submissions of all the ones that we got, because I'm assuming it's pronounced Guillaume. Like, I hope that's how you pronounce your first name, Guillaume, submitted a Fiesta XR2, the Mark II. And this, for me, represents an iconic period of hot hatches. And down where my parents live, somebody owns one of these and uses it for the run to the train station. So whenever I'm getting the train, I always see one of these. And I'm like, oh my God, I need to go out and just buy one. Like, what a cool little hot hatch. Surely, this is your era, Tony. You must love this.
Yeah, I do. The Pepper Pot wheels.
He's got like some rally spotlights up front. It's just the shape of it. Everything is just bang on.
They actually used to sound quite good as well for little one. I think they were 1.6s. They used to sound pretty good as well. And then they done a turbo version as well.
I think
was lightning.
Yeah, this is a sweet spot in hot hatch life. Like, of course, hot hatches today are still great, but we're talking about A45s that are quicker than most supercars. I think this goes back to a time of small, light, nippy, well-handling, good fun hatchbacks. And like, I just think that's a sweet spot. These must be a bit of money nowadays though, aren't they?
I would have thought so. Yeah, I bet a good one's between $5,000 and $10,000, I would think.
Thinking how far off you are with old RS4s, I'm assuming that's going to be a lot more, but who knows? I think it's cool. I think it's a desirable little collector car, looks the part, perfect spec. Guillaume, you've nailed it. I love it. I think we both love it. We're both very jealous. If you're in the UK, let me come and drive it because I think it's awesome.
Me too.
Okay. We did do a bit of a chat recently about JDM investments or JDM classics. And right here, David has submitted his R34 GTR. What I like about this is who knows what's happening underneath the hood. It looks very clean. It looks slightly unmolested, which is quite rare when it comes to these kind of cars, I find. Most of the time, GTRs from any era or generation kind of get abused. But this looks pretty basic. So therefore, I'm giving it a big thumbs up. And considering I drove an R34 last year in Canada, thought it was amazing, I can only imagine this is a lot of fun. So I'm a big approver of the R34, David. I don't know why I've started speaking like Boris Johnson. Tony, over to you.
That's exactly what I thought. I thought, why is he talking?
I don't know what happened there. That was really weird. Out of nowhere, I got possessed by Bojo.
Maybe you get better.
It's the concussion. That's what happened. It's knocked Bojo.
Yeah. I would tend to agree. If that's a standard car, it's a thumbs up from me as well. They're worth an absolute fortune, unmolested as well. They always have been really, really strong money. But if it's a messed about with,
no, but you know, but you, I think you could, mess around with it in a good way. Like if he's done some good modifications, got some good performance out of it without making it ridiculous where it's anti-lagging everywhere and banging, bopping and having an exhaust that's the size of a watermelon. So it's quick and usable and fun to drive, but still looks like that. I think he's onto a winner. What I personally don't enjoy that much is the, here is my 1100 horsepower R34, like watch it go sideways into a tree.
No, I think if it's a standard car, which it looks like, it's a real win-win for me. If it's a molested car and it's 400 or 500 horsepower or more, it's not for me.
Okay.
It's ruined. You've ruined it.
Don't ruin David's day. David, you got a wicked car. And I will only remove my thumbs up if it's more than 600 horsepower. Or 500 horsepower.
Oh, he's such a sit on the fence.
I'm the PC brigade. Okay, I left this in just for myself because we have got here from Grobler. Is that your name? Oh, no, JP Grobler. Sorry, JP, what's up? Your XKRS. Big fan of this because obviously RS no longer really exists in the Jag world. It's been replaced by the SVR. But the RS kind of was the SVR back in the day. I think the XK, still a beautiful, good-looking car. And we have to think it's not that old and it was still great. They obviously did the RS GT variant as well of this, which is a little bit more hardcore. I had to go in one of those from Joe Macari not that long ago. Cool car, a grand tourer, big and shouty. It's a proper drag and a really nice drag. And this is black on black on black. And I just think cool. I think cool, you know, actually in comparison to an F-Type, why not?
I like it. I like them. I agree. I think they're great value for money as well now. And that one looks really cool in black. Yeah. I like stealth, black. See as well, you go back to black wheels. I think that looks better with black wheels than what it would look with silver wheels.
I think it would be smart as hell with some silver wheels. I just think it would be like, wow. This looks a little bit like you could be dealing drugs at 11 p.m. in Streatham High Street, but we know because of the RS badge, we're like, not a chance.
Cool,
but
like that.
Yeah, you think it's Batman spec? I think it's drug man spec. But anyway, we're both big fans. I think lots of people. This is a little bit of a note from both of us. Keep an eye on XKRs. Especially the really late cars. So just before the F-Type came along, a lot of great technology in them. It's basically the same engine, look fantastic. And big performance for not that much money. So we're giving a thumbs up for those. Now, this was submitted here by James. I can already see Tony staring at it. It is a heavily modified 986, Boxster S. I'm just going to come out and say, I think, James, you've gone in the wrong direction. I'm going to be honest. I think I can see what you've tried to do. I'm not sure it's worked out for you, mate. I would give that a skip personally. It's a little bit too fast, too furious for me. Kind of half expect to see it like cruising around Miami. I like that you're doing bits. I like that you've made it your own. I just don't like it personally. Judging by Tony's grimace when it first appeared on screen, I'm not that hopeful he's going to like it either. But over to you, mate.
Well, I don't think James has got a girlfriend for a start, because obviously he spends his money on his car and not women.
Yeah.
But James, can I give you a bit of advice? If you haven't got a girlfriend, find yourself one and invest some money in her instead of investing any more money in that thing that's in front of me there.
But you know what? He gets to say he drives a Porsche around, which we are always fans of. And so even though he's probably turned it into something that most Porsche enthusiasts would turn away from a Porsche meet, the underpinnings of the car are still good. And he probably loves it, at which point, good on you, son.
I bet that Paul Wallace is his hero. I bet that's what's happened there.
I bet it's got an Armatrix system on it. Okay, well, yeah. James, hopefully we will see you around at some time. And,
well done, James.
And, yeah, well done, James. Coming through from Jason, we've got a very clean-looking classic Mustang. I wasn't going to include this at one point because I thought, you know what, it's just a nice old Mustang. But then I thought, actually, it's a really nice old Mustang. And I'm not the biggest fan of this era of Mustang. I'm more into like my Camaros and thing from like back in the 60s. But talking about icons, and we have quite a few times in this podcast talked about cars that are iconic, the early Mustang is big and cumbersome and lazy maybe. But I think that's a cool car. Don't you think, Tony? Like, the Mustang's a cool car.
Yeah, yeah. For sure, I think that's very cool, yeah.
Yeah, no matter where you go, really, it's always like, it's a Mustang, that's good.
Yeah, like really like a classy spec as well. That,
yeah,
like,
clean, really like, classy.
A really nice, straight car.
Anyway, that's why I wanted to include it, just a nice one, but we'll move on briefly. But yeah, go on, Jason, we're fans. Now, it's a bit of us, Tony. This is a bit of us. Coming in from Mashur, Masher? Yeah, I'm going with Masher again. My eyes are just not working. Is that a symptom of concussions? Eyesight going? I'm a bit worried now. Anyway, it's a 430 Scud, but in a really, I think, rare spec. White with gold stripes, but then a tan Alcantara interior. And it looks like he might be in the Middle East, and I'm guessing maybe by your name, Masher, and sorry if that's being a little bit judgmental, I'm assuming you're in the Middle East, and therefore in that part of the world, that spec, bang on the money.
Yeah, so I hope he is in that part of the world with that car. I love the car. I'm not a fan of the spec.
No way.
If you are going to get away with it, it's out there in the Middle East.
It's too showy for you?
It's not a bit of me, that. I love the car. I'd even consider a Scud, mate. I like Scuderias. That's not for me.
I think that's beautiful. Like, I'm not always the biggest fan of white Ferraris, but this really ticks my box.
Well, not mine.
Okay. That's that then. Next up, Charlie with his Civic Type R. I think this looks good. Again, we're like, we all know like Civic Type R's like win. I think that looks good. Nice wheels, nice picture, cool car.
I think they don't look good.
Oh.
However, no, I don't think they look good. I think they look
weird.
Ridiculous, actually, to be honest. Yeah. They look like they've been designed in a wind tunnel. The bloke designed it had his eyes shut.
Like,
however,
half his podcast.
However, that is a bloody good car, that is, because we've had a couple of them in stock, and they are a really, really, really good car, as in one of the best current hot hatches.
Yeah.
They're really that good.
Yeah, no, I'm a big fan of them as well. And so I just think that one looks good. I just think it's a cool car. Wanted to include it. It's just like, yeah, mate, well done. Well done. Nice car.
Well done,
no everyone's brave enough to go and buy the Civic, I don't think, because it is a bit quirky. It is a bit out there. You're definitely showing up with the like, oh, I've got time. Well, obviously, yeah. if you're in a golf car, it's a bit more subdued. So it's a brave move, and he's put his little touch on it. And yeah, big fan of that. Now, this is one of my favorite things I've seen all year. I mean, all decade. Ladies and gentlemen, introducing Michael's F-Type SVR, which has been wrapped in the livery of the Jaguar Formula One team circa 2005-ish, just before they got sold out to Red Bull. This is absolute genius. You all know I'm a huge fan of racing liveries on cars. I've wanted to do this. I even thought about doing this when I had my F-Type, but I didn't have really the balls, and I was also looking at some more historic kind of Le Mans liveries rather than the F1 liveries. But this seems to be done so well. I think it looks so appropriate. I do have some other angle photos, but I haven't included them in this slideshow. Tony, being a man who had a pink GT3 RS in the historic pink pig Porsche livery, please tell me you like this.
I don't.
Oh, get out.
I don't like it.
Why
mate.
Not?
I like the car, and I understand the livery and the heritage of it as it being an F1, but it wasn't actually on an F-Type, and it looks weird. So I'm not a big fan of wrapping cars anyway, if I'm honest.
They didn't put the Marlborough livery on a P1 either, but it looks good when you do it.
I'm not that fussed about it. Honestly, I'm not a big wrapping person. The only car I've ever wrapped is the Porsche, and that was actually on a GT3R. So it kind of looked similar being on a GT3 RS. But on any other car, yeah, I just think they normally look a little bit tacky, mate. It's not for me. I don't really like wrapping, though, to be honest.
Fair enough. Well, I think that's absolutely amazing. I think, Michael, you are my hero, and I'll happily buy that car off you when you're done with it. It looks amazing. Okay, moving on to final car of today's episode. It's been submitted by Peter, and I have a story to tell about this car, but I want Tony's thoughts first. It is the Maserati Grand Sport MC Victory.
So is that the one, because I can't see it from the back, is that the one with the square lights or like the rectangular lights?
Square lights.
Right. I like that.
Uh-huh. Do you know what the MC Victory bit means?
Not a clue.
This is a car that I would call you up and say, oh, mate, they only made a few of them. There's only a handful of them. They're super rare. Because this was that. It was a limited edition run to celebrate the MC12's victory in the, I think it was the Endurance Championship, the FIA GT1, something. They won something.
Uh-huh.
And Maserati made this with blue carbon fiber, the same seats out of my 360 in the Enzo, and a Speedia gearbox, some other beautiful changes, a great exhaust. Like, I drove this exact car in New York last year. And I fell in love. Yeah. This thing for me is the dream. Basically got a Ferrari V8 in it. Sounds the bomb. Is actually quite mean and meaty. Obviously got quite a horrific F1 gearbox in it. So the gearbox is a bit of a pig. But it's just cool. And it reminds me of an era where Maserati were actually doing kind of cool things. I don't know. Or at least their association with Ferrari was stronger. And I just adored it, and it's a car that I feel like people don't know that much about because there were very limited numbers, and Peter's going to kill me forgetting how many there were, something like 150 or 180. Again, sorry, Peter, because I know I should know, but I don't. But yeah, it's just a super cool, super odd, super little rare car for those nerds in the know like me and Peter and a handful of others. And they come up for sale every now and again in the UK. And I think one to watch. What a cool... cool car.
I wouldn't buy one, by the way.
No, of course you wouldn't, but
but I like it. This is a bit of a Cosworth car for me.
Okay.
I appreciate it and I like to look at it, but I wouldn't own one.
Okay, fair enough. Well, I would. This would be one of the cars that I would have in my, if I was a Euro Millions collector. The problem is they're about circa 35 to 50K, depending on mileage and condition, but they are a pig, as in, you know, you've got to spend money to run it and you want a good one.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's of that era. Even if you were buying the equivalent Ferraris, you've got to be really
like
careful.
Your 360.
No, mate, my 360 is perfect. There's never anything wrong with it. So anyway, we are now going to draw a close to today's episode. Of course, we've only been able to go through a very small handful of cars, but hopefully it's given you guys a taste or an appetite for this sort of style episode. We would love to do more of them. Hopefully when I've recovered from this very bizarre concussion injury which I've incurred, I apologize if my voice has been dreary or drowsy or slurred at any point. But Tony, I think you've helped get us through. So thank you very much, mate, for once again calling in.
No problem. And thanks for sending all your cars in, guys. It's been really good looking at them all and all the different models. And
it's been so interesting, everyone. Right? Like, that's the thing. We know a bit about our audience, but we don't know that much. And so it's great to see what people are actually driving and the range. I mean, everything from McLaren Sennas to Fiesta XR2s to this MC Victory Maserati. It really shows the variety and the quirky, weird and different cars people are using, which I love. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, for sure. And again, this is all just a bit of a laugh and a joke. And no, whatever we say, don't take offence to it. It's just that everyone, you know, one man's junk is another man's treasure. It's just the way it is, you know.
Well, there we go. Just like everyone loves my 360, but you don't. So, you know, what can we say? Well, everyone knows the GT3 RS isn't that good. So let's carry on and wrap things up. And so thank you so much for tuning in. If you're watching here on the YouTube channel, make sure to subscribe and turn on notifications. If you're listening, also follow us. Keep following us on whatever audio platform. And we will be back, hopefully, if I survive. Tony, stay safe. Stay inside. Don't fall down any stairs.
See you guys.
I'll catch up with you soon. Thanks for tuning in. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.